Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Holly Sagine, and I'll be your host for today's program, 4G on the Cheap, part of a series examining the 2011 DMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 10th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and member firm partners and senior practitioners. Here today to discuss the deployment of next-generation networks is Duncan Stewart. Duncan is director of Deloitte Canada Research and co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me on.
Duncan, first, set the stage for us, if you would. What is 3.5G and how does that compare to 4G?
Well, we need to understand that the current generation of networks that most people use for all of their wireless needs, whether it's voice or data, are what are called 3G or third generation networks. Those were introduced roughly 2000 to 2002, and they've done a great job for, you know, a decade now. They have provided the networks that have allowed for a blossoming of wireless services around the world, especially wireless data. But as many of us know, we are starting to run into situations where consumers are looking for a little more from their wireless networks. They may want more data in a month. They may want better coverage. Maybe they want to watch video over these networks. What we are seeing is that the average user is going from wanting maybe 100 megabytes of data at speeds of maybe around 1 megabit per second to all of a sudden wanting gigabytes of data at speeds of 10 or 100 megabits per second. The kind of technologies that allow you to watch video and surf the web as though you were connected to a landline. Now, in order to accomplish that, the assumption has always been that we need to go from 3G, third generation networks, to 4G, or fourth generation networks. There are currently two major varieties of 4G networks out there. One of them, many people know about, it's already out there, it's called WiMAX, but the other one is being gradually launched in 2010, 2011, 2012. It's called LTE, which stands for Long-Term Evolution, and it's the one that most cellular wireless networks are expected to launch.
Well, this year's predictions say that the deployment of next-generation long-term evolution wireless networks is going to fall short of expectations. Why is that?
Well, we expected them to be by the end of 2011. I'd say, you know, if you take a look at 2008, the assumptions were that probably half the networks in the world would already have deployed LTE by this point, and that is not turning out to be the case. In fact, at the end of 2011, we're going to have, you know, 20 to 30 networks around the world in about six countries covering, admittedly, hundreds of millions of people actually having rolled out LTE. There are going to be some very large deployments in 2011, and they're going to make headlines, but it's going to fall a long way short of some of the more optimistic expectations. The reason for that is that it turns out the difference between 3G and 4G is enormous, but 3G hasn't been sleeping. They haven't been standing still. In fact, there are some intermediate solutions called 3.5 or 3.5G. The specific version of this sort of interim technology is called something called HSPA, specifically HSPA+. And what we are seeing is that wireless networks around the world are able to roll out these 3.5G HSPA services for significantly less money than it would cost them to build an entirely new LTE network. So, in other words, they're able to get in the game for tens or hundreds of millions of dollars instead of billions of dollars. Now, these networks, these 3.5G networks, are a very effective bridging solution. They are able to offer speeds that are very similar to the kinds of speeds that you might get on an LTE network. You can watch video on them. You can download huge chunks of data and surf the web. The only disadvantage to 3.5G versus 4G is that it doesn't really use the wireless spectrum nearly as efficiently. So if I'm out there trying to watch video or something like that, I can get an experience that's pretty good. It feels like a high-speed data experience, but it chews up an awful lot of spectrum. And since spectrum is a scarce an expensive commodity that wireless carriers need to pay governments for, we are expecting that in certain markets where you have an awful lot of users using an awful lot of data, where there isn't maybe a lot of available spectrum, those are the networks that we're going to see move to LTE soonest. Because although the bridging technology of 3.5G does work, it does so in what's called a spectrally inefficient way. And that's why in less dense areas, in areas where there aren't that many consumers, we are seeing many of the world's networks settle for 3.5G, at least for the time being.
As a user, then, why would I care?
As a user, you really don't. As long as the spectrum is available, as long as the capacity is there, you'll be able to go out and buy a USB key that fits in your personal computer, perhaps a handset or a tablet that connects to a 3.5G network. And what you'll see is that you will end up getting pretty good speeds, 7, 10 megabits per second. So you'll be able to do all the latest, greatest things available on a wireless network. You probably won't have to pay an extreme amount more for that than you would. So the network speeds and the price will be very similar whether you're on 3.5G or on 4G. However, I think that because of the spectral efficiency, what we are expecting to see is that the data buckets will probably be smaller. In other words, if you're planning on watching an awful lot of video on a mobile device or on a personal computer, you probably want the LTE network. It's very expensive for a network provider to provide a gigabit of data using HSPA technology, whereas it's a fair bit cheaper on LTE. So for people who want to use 20 gigabytes or more of data per month, they'd probably rather choose a 4G network if at all possible.
So switching back to the business question then, can you give us some specifics on the numbers of networks rolling out this sort of service in 2011?
We have already, around the world, there are some networks that are already offering 4G, of course. WiMAX is already rolled out. But even in the LTE space, there are a number of networks that are already up and running. One of the reasons that in certain geographies people are more cautious about moving to LTE is that these networks, even though they're fairly successful, the number of users who are clamoring for the speeds and benefits that 4G and LTE are offering are quite a bit lower than perhaps they might have been. So at this point, 4G is something that if you're in a congested market, it's something that you can't afford not to do. But on the other hand, if you're in a less congested market, it's perhaps something that's more of an option. So at the end of 2011, we will have six countries will have LTE for commercial availability. We'll have roughly 30 networks that has deployed it. And the population covered by this will be around the order of 400 or 500 million people, at least available on a single network. Obviously, in many geographies, you have three, four, or five networks. In most geographies, it's only a single network that will actually be offering 4G.
Okay, well, not that I'm keeping score, but I'll remind you of those numbers next December when we're doing this.
Look forward to that.
Okay, Duncan, thank you so much for joining me today on Deloitte Global Insights.
Thanks, Holly.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2011 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, the program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee and its network of member firms, each of which is legally separate and independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.